Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, I just assumed.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one.
I am sure.
Pizza, pizza.
Pizza! Showtime!
I'd like sweet meat.
Nothing wrong with getting a little.
Yeah, I gotta put on my good sweat.
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bath. For the strong link, go direct to DLFGS.org. And IC challenge at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the challenge just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1149 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
And we have special guest, Murph.
Hey there.
From New Jersey. And before we get to Murph, I just wanted to say, had some bad news this past week. Right before the Labor Day holiday, they had layoffs at work and or staff reduction, as they like to call it.
And you got hit?
No, I did not get hit, but my supervisor did, and another member of our team. So pretty much like every team got hit. And apparently it was somewhat of a surprise, especially to upper or at least my supervisor. The interesting reason behind it was that the quarter two revenue came in a lot lower than expected, and the most salient culprit were changes that were made to the particularly Google Chrome browser. I'm assuming this probably also holds for Google search in it of itself, is that the way that it's acting now, like if you do a search for something in Google, it presents you with summaries, the Gemini summaries. And what that has resulted in is a significant decline in click-through traffic. The people are just looking at the summaries and not following through to the websites. So it's kind of like they get the general point of whatever article it is, the message that's summarized for them, and then they don't click through to the actual site to read the entire article, which then results in a loss of advertising revenue, and thus our Q2 numbers go down. And it's one of those things where, you know, in discussions with my supervisor, and listening to my supervisor who explained the whole situation, it wasn't a performance-related issue, and it really wasn't, you know, that we were unnecessarily too big. It is, hey, they need to cut costs ASAP due to this loss of traffic resulting from, largely from, this force outside of our control.
Hey, Dan, just out of curiosity, did they consider trimming the AI budget to compensate for the loss of revenue due to AI?
Well, here's the interesting thing, right? I'm glad you asked that, Murph. That's a very good question. So in discussions of what we need to do going forward in the future. So like my team, the team that I'm on, it's not my team, but the team that I'm part of isn't a revenue generating team. We work on the tools that are used, the content management system by the journalists and editors to write the articles. So in asking, like, what is the future then? What is it that we, that needs to be done? And how can you recapture some of that revenue? And one of the things that brought up was more licensing to AI companies as being potential revenue generation, to which I then asked the question, if we're in this situation largely because, you know, we're all in with Google and Gemini scraping our information and putting it in summaries on Google Chrome, aren't we just hastening problems further down the line if we're giving them our content and then it's not coming back through to us? Like, and what was the kind of response to that question was essentially the written word, while it's important, is not what's going to generate the revenue anymore, because people don't want to go to the websites and read the articles. They're not going to do that. So what's important, while it is still what is the crux of our product, it's how it's delivered now in short form content and through partnerships with AI companies licensing that information to be able to distribute it through them in that way, and personalized content, which, you know, in working with AI companies is supposed to help us deliver to an audience to tailor an experience towards them. So what that actually means is I have no freaking clue. And people, I don't think they really know yet. Anybody knows, but it's happening across the industry in that. And I, you know, you ask a great question, Murph, and to which the answer I would say to you at this stage of the game, it's the opposite. It is more investment into AI. So I think there's kind of like two avenues here. There's one, using or utilizing AI tools to supposedly become more productive. And I've spoken about this, you know, I've seen both sides to this in that it can be helpful, but at the same time, for the past 2 months, it's been telling me what I'm doing is wrong because it hasn't caught up yet with the changes that were done in the library. So I have to make changes, and it keeps telling me that my changes are going to break things because they're not correct. And I'm like, no, you're out of date. So it's like, there's that component. But at the same time, in some ways, you can, like, I have one of the guys that work with wanted to solve the problem that we have with our data transfers and BigQuery, where we have one part of the company, the content API, will transfer content over to our BigQuery instance for specific usages on our tools end. And that data transfer is constantly hindered by schema changes, right? So we're always playing catch-up, where they make a schema change, and then the data transfer no longer works, so we update the schema. But it's one of those things where we can't update the schema until they implement the schema, or else we need to figure out the proper different values to put in there. And so and there's ways to get around it, right? Figure this out, and that's one of the things we did. Right? How can we do this? And what it came back with was a way to do it, and a Python script to help facilitate that. And I said to him, it seems like it's going to do what we want to do, but we really actually tested.
Hey, Murph.
And when I ran the Python script.
Does he sound that bad to you, too?
Yes. Hey, Dan.
Dan, your audio went to shit.
Dan, you sound like You sound like butthole.
Yeah, you're progressively sounding like the basement is filling with water.
Can you hear me, Joe?
I can hear you, but you sound like shit.
That is odd, because are you guys speaking?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, we're speaking.
Yeah, you're sounding worse and worse by the second.
There he goes.
Whatever machine he has hooked up is still sounding terrible.
That's why I disconnected, because I'm like, is it fucking me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been around in a while, so I feel like I'm not in a position to go criticizing the audio.
No, that was bad.
It's still bad, man.
It's still bad.
Very bad.
Hold on, he's not back yet. Are you back now? Because it's your other machine that's making all the noise.
All right, well, what I was saying, Murph, to answer your question, I don't know what you heard, is no, we're not reducing AI budget. We're licensing more with AI to hopefully generate the content and get paid for the content through the AI companies. At the same time, they're doing a lot of work on trying to block AI bots from scraping our content and just delivering it. So we'll see where it goes, you know? It's always been a case that by and large, people don't necessarily want to pay for content. They would rather get it for free. I kind of get it. It's especially when you can go to certain places and get the content for free. And if you click on a link to read the content that's summarized for you, you're presented with a paywall. That becomes frustrating. So there we are. So that's where we're at with that. Still working. So there is that. I'm going to miss my boss. He was a great guy. He wasn't too keen on AI himself, but. And then here we go. So it didn't, you know, and my wife looks at this and says, you know, didn't expect AI to come at your job in that direction. You know, it's not that it has made my job obsolete. It has basically made my company, their product, more obsolete because it's just giving it away, you know, and.
Yep. And so here we are. It's taking our content and giving it away.
Yeah, and the response is to invest more in that system that is taking your content away. I'm not criticizing you, Dan, of course. It's just,
believe me, Mark,
that's the stupid road everybody seems to be going down.
I'm right there with you, buddy, man. I'm right there with you. It seems like, you know, You're just swimming with a shark, and your response is, let me give it some more blood.
Yeah, they take all of your stuff for free. It said, maybe if we give them some money, too, then maybe they'll help us. No, they're not going to do that. They're just going to take your money.
And the hope is that by licensing with – and the licensing that I'm talking about is not us licensing AI, which we are already licensing AI, but – technology, but them licensing our content for them to scrape.
No, right? I get that, but it's just silly that, you know, someone's eating your business and it's like, oh, will you give us some money to eat our business? And it's like, that's the beginning of the end at that point. If it's not like already the middle of the end.
And then, the question then comes around is like, what are you going to do? You know, cause it's like, almost can't stop it. It's just, they're doing it and you can't stop it. you're always playing catch up and trying to stop it, you know?
Yeah. Or it's like the discussion I had today at the end of my work day where I basically spent most of my day working on two different tickets, but I got 28 sitting in my queue. And I'm like, 28. And it's like, how can I touch each and every one of those every freaking day? You know, I can't. You know, I can't. And then the one thing was an actual non-party issue was working with a client. And I made the comment on this call with the SaaS engineer on there. I said, whatever changes we make in non-prod, we have to make in prod. So what did the motherfucker do? Made him in prod right then and there. I'm like, dude, really? So they went down. I'm like, you idiot. You idiot. I'm like,
that's the kind of needle I have to thread at work all the time now with my increased responsibilities. I've got people that are supposed to do things, but they'll just go and do them. And it's like, no, you need to think about this
and try it in
sandbox first and then try it in dev. Now, they'll just slam it out there and break stuff. Kills me.
And this is already a client that's had multiple upsizes and other things along the way, and it's like, oh, come on, really? And not to mention that the task I created for them 2 weeks ago, I said, did you do this? And I'm not even halfway through the call, and I find out they didn't do that. And he came back, and they came back earlier and said, yeah, we did that. I'm like, it's not there. I mean, it's not working, so something didn't happen. I'm like, God. And like, and then I get AI, like, through the ServiceNow problem system, they generate P tasks for me that I gotta make sure all the P tasks are closed before I can close a problem task. So, and all those P tasks are generated by what? A freaking I. You know, and then, I go to use ChatGPT to do something the other day, and I can't get in, and I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, oh, we went through this thing, and your account, you didn't use AI enough. I'm like, are you fucking serious? I'm like, okay, fine, I won't use it anymore.
Yeah, I'm being encouraged to use it, but they are not tracking it as such, thank God, because more than half the time I go to use it, it's outright blatantly wrong, and if I didn't know the answer, know that the answer they gave was wrong, it'd be a complete waste of time, even more than it is now. It's very much a mixed bag, and I'm having trouble making it do too much useful for me.
And there we are, right? So yep. How are our AI overlords going to help with Software Freedom Day?
So I was just going to say, let's talk about a partial antidote to AI, which is Software Freedom Day. So this September 19th, it always happens on the third Saturday in September. This year it falls on the 19th. Software Freedom Day is when people get together and celebrate and learn about free software. They're happening all over the world. If you go to digitalfreedoms.org, you can look at the world map and find one near you. If you're in the greater New York, New Jersey metropolitan area, we are having an event at Montclair State University in northern New Jersey. And it's going to be fun. We've actually got a musical guest coming. We're going to be giving away some laptops. Before you get on a plane to come out and win a laptop, they are recycled laptops, so they're not as good as they could be. I would love to have made these a little more acceptable for the year 2026, but unfortunately with RAM prices and SSDs at the price they are, I have to give them away as is. I fixed them up a little and I replaced a BIOS battery and obviously put Linux on all of them. But so we're giving some laptops away, some starters for people. And we're going to be talking about applications and the Fediverse and self-hosting and lots of stuff that will only touch a little bit on self-hosted AI. I understand my self-hosting guy. Mars is going to be talking about AI a little bit in there, but it'll be how do you do the things you want to do without big tech? How do you do things with free software that allow you to have agency over your systems and the software you use? And, you know, how do you have better control over your own life since we do so much with computers and software these days?
And I go back into, if you really want to put a hurting on companies like OpenAI and, Google and all these other, Anthropic and all that, start hosting your own AI. You can do it.
Or alternately, use this thing on the top of your body called a brain and think for yourself. That's
oh, that could hurt too.
That too.
That might hurt.
But
you can work your way up slowly and become accustomed to thinking again. It can happen. You can do it. That groan said it all. That was perfect.
Right.
So you guys have any questions for me about Software Freedom Day? I had no notes and no set thing. I just wanted to talk a little bit about it. So questions would be welcome because I'm just winging it.
Is it the same place as last year?
Yes, we did it at Montclair State University last year. It's in a different building. We got a nicer room. We've got an atrium. There will be food as well.
Oh.
The school is springing for food this time. So,
so is it like their cafeteria food?
Food trucks? Local good pizza place, New Jersey pizza place.
Oh, so, that's nice.
Yeah, and they're bringing it in. Like I say, so some free food, some free laptops, and good information about free software is what it's all about.
Where did they get the laptops from?
When you say they, being me, I went to the town recycling place hoping to like go through what they had and maybe pick some stuff out, and the guy said, yeah, so here's my little story. The guy said, once someone brings something in, you cannot touch it. It's a town rule. You don't like it, go talk to the mayor. I'm like, okay, fine. He said, if you catch someone before they bring it in here, that's between you and them. You can do whatever you want. And literally, as he finished saying that, a guy walks up behind me and says, is this the place where you bring laptops to recycle? And I turn around and I, sir, may I have a word with you? And I talked with him, and he handed me 5 laptops to recycle. 5 laptops, 1 power supply. So I have scared up the rest of the power supplies. I replaced a BIOS battery, I wiped all the drives, got all his data off of them, installed Linux on all of them, and they're all, like I say, if you put more RAM and SSDs in them, they would all be acceptable, except for the oldest one. There's a Sony in there, which is probably still a little too pokey, and at 4 gigs, it's probably maxed out for that era of machine, so that one's going to be a little rough no matter what, but the other ones are all... 2012 to 2016 HPs. So with a little more RAM and a decent SSD in them, those would all be perfectly acceptable to use. The Sony's a little on the edge. I'm gonna caveat all of these because they all have spinning drives in them, so they're all pretty slow. If people can get their hands on the parts, these could all be pretty good machines.
What distros you put on there?
I put Zubuntu on some, I put Debian on 2 of them, and I have Fedora KDE on 1 of them.
So you have 5 of them, right?
4 that are salvageable. One was an HP that was even older than the oldest Sony, and it only has 512 megs of RAM. I can't give that to anybody. That one I may either try to find RAM for, but I'll do this after the event. This one will not be done for the event. There's no way.
Are you just
raffling them off? I don't
even
know what processor's in it. Yeah, just going to raffle them off.
Well, that's cool.
You know, to people, I figure that'll be a way to encourage people to come back for the talks after lunch is, hey, we're giving a computer away. Come on into the lecture room and we'll get people going for that. And how do you get people to stay till the end? Hey, you give one of them away at the end.
There you go.
Some people will stick around then.
That's
so,
it, huh?
We're incentivizing people to do this. So I'm looking at them now. I got bags with laptops in them, ready to go. So that's part of it. And, I've got Post-its with passwords on them, stuck on the inside. And, that's going to be the thing.
So let me get this right. It's at the college.
Yep.
The university, sorry. What's the university name again?
Montclair State University. Montclair State University, New Jersey.
In Montclair, New Jersey. It starts at what time?
It starts at 10, and it'll go till either 3 or 4. I've heard both times thrown around. I think they want to start wrapping up at 3, but we'll probably be there talking for a while afterwards.
And it's free?
It is free to attend.
And the food is free?
I've heard the food is free.
And it's pizza?
Pizza and some salads and probably some cookies or something.
That's really nice, man. I gotta say.
Yeah, the school came last year. The school was a little, I don't think they sort of got the whole feeling for it, but we have a, liaison that's doing the work and she's doing an awesome job and got them in on this. And, they're doing they're being much more welcoming, and hopefully we can provide the school with some people in there to, you know, show that we're a vibrant community. The free software community is there, and, you know, it'll be a good two-way street.
That is awesome. Yeah, are you giving any talks?
I am. I'm going to do an opening talk, at the beginning.
That'll probably be very short.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. Nobody's coming to see me talk. And then we're going to do a talk on the Fediverse, and I'll be doing that as well. And for both of these talks, I have neither of them entirely finished yet. So I have work to do.
Better get cracking, huh?
I do. I have to get moving.
You didn't give these talks last year, did you?
I actually got cut off and didn't have time to do the Fediverse talk last year. I did the whole talk in like 4 minutes, so it really didn't have the right impact. The opening talk is going to be similar, but I actually didn't even open my old talk's notes. I just sort of wrote it out. I have notes for myself. I don't have it complete. So I just did it off the top of my head, and when I'm done with it, I'm going to go look back at the old and make sure I didn't miss anything. But so it's a new talk.
Oh, that's cool.
So let me give you the two websites. The one is digitalfreedoms.org, and you'll see a link for Software Freedom Day. And the one for our event, our standalone event, is NJ, is in New Jersey, SFD, softwarefreedomday.org. So NJSFD.org.
No.
Both of those have information about the event. And or you can... hit me up with questions, murph@weirdness.com. I'll put my actual email address, or one of my email addresses, out there on the podcast. murph@weirdness.com. Hit me up with questions.
What is weirdness.com? Is that your own domain?
That one is not my own domain. I got that. That's a mail.com domain that I got back in like the 90s, and I've had it forever. Yeah, I've had it for a very long time.
How much spam you get on that?
Almost nothing.
Really?
Yeah, so if you email me and I don't respond back, I don't know, maybe they ate it up as spam. I don't know, but it still works when I, you know, I get messages there periodically, and that's certainly not my main address. That's one that I'm willing to give out in public. So if you do spam it, I'm not going to cry.
What was weirdness?
What's that?
What was weirdness?
I don't know. I don't know. It's just awesome, you know?
No, I mean, was it a mail provider or?
No, mail.com had like tons and tons and tons of domains that you could register an email address with.
And one of them was weirdness?
Yep. Weirdness.com.
Because when I go to weirdness.com, it just comes back and says Lander. And there doesn't seem to be anything there. So I'm assuming that it probably only works for email.
Yeah, it only works for email. And I log in through mail.com. Not that I'm advertising them, by the way. They've jacked up all kinds of prices. But I think I'm grandfathered in for so long that they haven't hit me up for it. Don't tell them about it, please.
They forgot about you.
I hope so, because I'm still hanging in there.
There you go. Yeah,
I love those grandfathered plans. That's like a... I have a grandfathered plan, but I've been doing YouTube Premium, and I also pay for the Gemini Pro. Technically, I got like a year free when I bought my new phone too. So I get this email out of the blue from Google. It says, oh, hey, you get YouTube Premium for free with Gemini Pro. I'm like, oh, I do. And it's like, yeah, and the email said, yeah, basically that I was technically paying for it twice. Before you do that, don't do it. Yeah, because what ends up happening is what comes with Gemini Pro is a light version of Premium. So what that means is the video part, you get no ads on, okay? The music part on YouTube Music, you get loaded with ads. And that's what I use for my music app. I mean, technically I could load, you know, like MP3s on my phone. I'd have to find a different player, but,
Hold on a second.
Player wraps are easy to come by. Load your music on and there are no commercials.
True. But.
So here's my question. They said you get YouTube Premium. But it's not YouTube Premium.
Yes, it's Premium Lite.
Oh, did they say you get YouTube Premium Lite?
Lite.
They do, actually. After I read into it, yes. After I already did it.
So how bad are the ads on there?
About every 10 minutes, which is very annoying when I'm on a run.
How many ads?
Like I said, about every 10 minutes, and it's usually like one ad or so. It's
you do that for your music, right?
Right, when I'm running, yeah.
And how much do you pay for Gemini Premium?
That's a very good question.
Oh, is that through work?
No, it's not through work. No, I have an iPhone for my work phone.
Hey, if you're not looking to just hear the hits of the past, you could listen to Soma FM for free. Soma.fm.
There you go. So
you could install Revanced on your phone.
Yeah, you could do that too. That's a little sketch. But, so it's a YouTube Premium is $15.99, which I'll gladly pay. I'll gladly pay that. I'm totally fine with that. And like I said, with the AI, Gemini AI, I have that for free at the moment. I think it goes up to $10 after the year's out. So it's not that bad. I mean, it could be much, much worse.
Wait, cause I see their subscription tier and pricing. The AI Pro gives you the Gemini at either $20 for 5 terabytes or $49 for 10 terabytes.
Yeah, I think I have, let me see, I know I have 5 terabytes.
Okay, so you got the AI Pro.
Right.
And it comes with perks like YouTube Premium and Google Health Premium.
Right.
And they're like.
Which is what Fitbit used to be.
So you're going to be paying $20 a month for 5 terabytes eventually.
Actually, I got it for 10. So, I think. I have to go back and look let me go look at my Verizon account, because I did get it for free with the new phone.
That's how they get you. Yeah. How they get you. They work you in. They're like, oh, it'll only be $9. And then like, did we say $9? It's $20. Did we say $20? You wanted the 10 terabyte, right? That's $50 a month. No, you want the 5 terabyte. Okay, that was $20. It's going to be $30 now, right?
And now we're introducing ads. You could pay another $20 to get rid of the ads again.
Yeah.
Yep.
Software freedom, folks.
I mean, both Netflix and Amazon did that.
Let's see. I'm not saying that we're using one of my daughter's accounts who doesn't live here in this exact house on Disney Plus, but we don't have Disney Plus, but my daughter does. So we were watching something on her account, and apparently I don't know what the tier pricing is on Disney Plus anymore, but now they just throw ads in there too on top of it. So you're watching, it's just like watching TV on a regular, on a regular channel, you know? You get an ad when it starts. You get 15, every like 10, 15 minutes, you get an ad. Two ads. Two minutes of ads.
No. Google, the AI Pro is $10 a month through my deal with Verizon. So I just pay $10 a month for that. So it saves me 10 bucks through the deal I got in Verizon.
No, there you go.
So, I mean, so 25 total for both. That's acceptable. Cause I use VBGesus out of YouTube. I'm literally probably using it all freaking day.
So do you actually use the Gemini?
I do. They really added some really cool stuff. There's a conversation that you can have, like, which is really kind of fun in the car. Like Easter, I was using it, basically talking to it and asking, tips on, prepping for my event I had, I think the 30-mile mammoth march and stuff like that. And then I got to a point where I said, okay, all that's great. Can you take that and put it in a Google Doc? And it did it. It took all the content and all the things that we talked about in the last 15 minutes and put it in a Google Doc, which is very useful. And of course, after I had it in the doc, I did go out. And granted, a lot of what I was asking it, I already knew, because I've done this kind of shit before, But I was just asking for that. Plus, I was also using it to help do a packing list and stuff like that, things I need to take with me. I do use it quite a bit. I've used it to help rewrite emails, I'll write it out, then I'll say, help me make this clearer, or, say this better, or I'll say, can you help me with the tone on this? And it does a good job with that. It's not always accurate, obviously. AI should not be seen as an end-all be-all, because it's not an end-all be-all. It is a tool. And that's where a lot of companies are failing with it, is they don't see it as a tool.
Which it's is a what tool it really that's is. Going to be a little piece of lots of bits of software here and there,
yes.
But it's not a third of the damn economy and holding up the entire stock market. It's going to be
replacing your entire workforce.
Yeah, it's going to be. There is going to be a bubble. I believe there's a bubble building, if not this year, next year. Eventually, people are going to be hit by it, especially since I'm betting a lot of companies like Dan's company are probably using AI to help build the list of who they're going to get rid of. Because that happened with my company. It didn't make sense. Because some of the people that got rid of had the most amount of knowledge about our products. But now they're gone.
Just get rid of the people that know what they're doing, of course.
Yep. Granted, they may also have been making the most amount of money, too.
Yeah, that is another problem.
What are you going to do, Joe, right? What are you going to do?
Or you get in the case of people like my wife, who's been looking for the last 6 months, hasn't really got a bite yet.
Yeah, well, Cory Doctorow says AI can't do your job, but a slick AI salesman could probably convince your boss that AI could do your job.
Yeah.
And by the time he figures it out, it's too late for you.
Yeah, eventually it'll be too late for them, too.
Yep. For once, I've actually heard a C-level manager say, well, Through the grapevine, I heard that there was a conversation happening. There's a person who is leaving as of next week. She was one of the principal support analysts for one of our modules, and she's leaving because she's had it with the stress of how things are right now. And she's in a position where she can't quit. You know, her husband makes enough money to take care of her and her kids, you know, his kids, you know. So, but when she put her resignation in, the CIO said, wanted to talk to her and figure out why. Right? And she explained all the, basically laid it all out to him, and he said, yeah, I think we made some mistakes there. I'm like, you think? You think?
Maybe.
Is that going to put more work on you?
No. No, not yet. When people have this, you see, that's the other thing too, that like, when I went to the conference this April, the big thing that they were announcing was, there are AI product that they're selling to our customers, right? And during his presentation, he was basically kind of denigrating the rest of our product stuff. Basically my product and other products that we have. And I'm like, but this product that you're trying to sell requires one of those products to put into it. So what does that say?
So is this executive old enough to know about the Osborne Corporation?
He is. He's not definitely, he's basically my age or older. So, not much older though. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just been, I'm like, when I'm on call, it used to be,
taking a closer look at
the page would be rare. Now it's to the point where like I had a P2 case come in, and it was definitely a P2 case. Job scheduler was missing his schedule. I'm like, okay, my team can't do the restoration. I put a task in for that. And this is like 2 hours before the end of my shift. My shift ends, and I'm like, well, they'll get it when they get it. And I take off. I was going to check in later. I'm at the store, and I get a page. The client raised it up to a P1. I'm like, well, still waiting on the restoration. And then they'll ask me, well, how did it get deleted? And I'm like, what happened? And I'm like, I have no idea right now. I don't think anybody does. It's like when something happens and you don't have logging turned on, which is our perpetual mode, because if you have it turned on all the time, we're going to fill a freaking drive with logs that we're not going to use. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm just right now, I'm very, very frustrated and
jaded.
My solace is going out for a run or doing a hard workout, and that makes me feel much better. It's the only way I'm keeping my sanity nowadays.
Sanity is overrated.
Yeah. I'm starting to question my sanity, especially since I just saw this. There is a race this coming May called Outlast. And I'm seriously thinking about it. So what it is, and it's in Lewis Center, which is near Columbus. You run a 5K every hour for 6 hours. So if you run your 5K and you finish your 5K in less than an hour, you get rest. So you rest and then go run another 5K. Then go run another 5K. So, and at some point you get, let's see, let me look up the, cause you still, the way they structure it is you still get something if you don't complete all six laps. So, if you do four laps you get the grit earned patch. So that would be 4 times 5, so 4 times 3.1. So that would be a little over 12 miles.
Hey, guys, I'm going to step out.
See you, Murph.
Have a good show. Everybody, look up Software Freedom Day. Go to your local one or start your own next year.
Yep, sorry.
But celebrate Software Freedom. I'll see you guys later.
Yep. Talk to you later.
So 5 laps, you get the Survivor patch, and then at 6 laps, when you do all 6, you get the medal. So I'm considering doing it. It's a trail race, too. So I don't know. Because that sounds like it could be pretty tough. It's not quite, that'd be about 18 miles, I think. Ish. Yeah, we'll see. I know I'm not, so I'm probably not gonna sign up for my first marathon, next year. I don't think I'm gonna be ready for that distance yet. But half marathon, I'll probably sign up with one or two. I don't know if I'm going to do the Columbus half again. I think I might do the Grandview Yard half, I think.
Whatever seems fun.
Well, and it's really what I've discovered anyway for me is the key to figuring out you know, what can I do to take better care of myself? You know, what kind of movement can I do? And obviously hiking is one of the ones I've chosen. Running is the second one. And the strength training is the third so far. You know, and it's not like, I won't say I completely enjoy my runs, but it's to the point now where I don't, you know, I mean, or, well, for example, last Thursday, I didn't really feel like running 6 miles, but I went out and did it, and I was glad I did it, you know.
Right.
But the Saturday when I ran the 11, you know, I started out, and it was kind of like on the way to the running store, cause it starts at the running store. It was raining, and I'm like, oh man. So we're in there, you know, as people gather, you know, you're all sitting there chit-chatting and shit like that, you know. And I'm just like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to reach my 11-mile distance today. I don't know. We'll see. So I start out, and before I finish out the first mile, the rain stopped. So I'm still dodging mud puddles and stuff like that as I run, and I got to the point where I make that final turn up Buckeye Parkway and decided, you know what? I might as well just fucking do it. Did it. You know? And probably for the first time in one of these group runs, I had to make a pit stop at a Port-a-John. And fortunately, the park we run through has those. Cause I'm like in the last mile and I'm like, oh shit, I gotta shit. it wasn't because of the goo, cause I had a couple goos that I took during the run. I don't think it was that, I think it was just that time, you know, cause it wasn't just like, I didn't have bubble guts, it's just like all of a sudden I had to go, you know. So it's kinda like me, like Friday, I'll take my pre-workout, I'll go do some strength training, and then by the time I get home, I'll have to pollute the bathroom again. It's just, that pre-workout always does that to me, I don't know why.
Caffeine.
Probably, it's 350 milligrams of caffeine in it, so, you know, it's a lot.
That'll do it.
But, But I made it. You know, the last mile, actually, the last mile wasn't that bad. It was the mile before that that was my slowest that day. But the rest of them, like my timing, my pacing is getting better every single run. Not quite the, you know, I'd like to run the half marathon in a 10-minute mile, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think I'll be closer to 11 or 12. So because right now, see, that run was, let's see, let me look at the calendar. Saturday. 2 hours and 18 minutes. Which is not horrible. Not horrible for somebody just starting out, you know.
That's good job, man. You made it through.
Yeah, and my average pace is 12 minutes, 34 seconds per mile. So, not horrible, you know, but I mean, it was a, you know, PR distance record, you know, and this week is kind of a lighter week. And like I said, next week I'm not sure if I'm going to do, I know I'm not doing the 12 miles that it would be on the calendar this Saturday, which, well, I could do it. But I got two things happening. One, that's my first group hike for my, hiking club I started at church. And two, it's the day before the Cuyahoga Valley Mammoth March. So I'm probably not going to do that run. Cause I'll probably jump in the car after I drop Bodie off. In fact, I need to get with the wife here probably before the weekend cause I need to make sure, he has all of his vaccinations. I think he does, because of my wife's injury, I want to put him in the in boarding for Saturday. Pick him up Monday, because my wife is, her back's still kind of screwed up, and Bodie is this big, powerful golden retriever who even tests me when I'm walking him with his strength, because he will pull he has this bad habit, to start of the walk, I'll not even get the neighbors, and he starts to go spastic, and he'll start yanking on the leash, doing circles around me and stuff, and I'm like, we're not doing this. I'll just stand there. I'll just, you know, face away from him until he calms down, and then we go out and finish the walk. But he'll do that shit. He'll do this stuff like if he sees a rabbit, oh, forget it. He thinks he can catch it, you know. So he starts to pull on the leash. Another dog, oh, he goes fucking bonkers. It's like, I forget where I was. I was walking. Where was I? I was at the park. There's a park, that I'll walk. There's like a loop trail and that, and, the back of that loop will connect into the other neighborhood. So I'll walk through there and then, go, I think if I walk all the way to the end of that trail, it's a paved trail. It's about 5 miles out and back. All right. So I'm coming back through the park, and this little girl's probably about two. Her daddy asks, can she pet him? And I'm like, well, if he doesn't scare the shit out of her, I'm sure he can. She can. Cause, and it's not easy. Bodie's not a mean dog. He's just a golden retriever, and they're a pain in the ass.
High energy.
Yeah. I mean, he's not mean whatsoever, you know. In fact, as long as he's out of his cage when we're home, he never barks. If he's in his cage and he thinks he should be out, he fucking barks his full head off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like in the morning, I try to be kind of quiet doing my morning routine, you know, taking my blood sugar, my blood pressure, taking my meds, getting my coffee, a bagel ready. You know, mixing my pre-workout or whatever else I'm going to take with me to the gym if I'm going to the gym, you know. And I try to get all that stuff done before I walk him, you know, or before he wakes up. And 9 times out of 10, I'm usually successful.
Well, you know, I do my morning stuff, the whole brush the teeth and
yeah,
splash some water in the face. But then as soon as I come downstairs, even if I'm just getting stuff ready in the kitchen, I let the dog out the kennel and I feed the cats, give the dog a little bit of breakfast so he's not jealous of the cats.
Well, I have started leaving him out like maybe while I eat. You know, he's really bad at snarfing food. So it's just, you know, he almost never gets any of my food, but like my wife will fix some toast or something, like a couple pieces of toast, and if she ain't watching him, he'll snarf that toast right away. He'll just snatch it right up and eat it. Or like I bought some, chocolate croissants, and I'm glad he didn't get sick, but, I ate one. You know, these were actually kind of smallish, you know, like each one's only like 170 calories. So I ate one, like Friday night when I brought them home, right? And then Luke ate a couple and they were still sitting on the counter. He knocked them down and ate pretty much all but 3 of them that were left. And they were the chocolate filled croissants. And I was like, oh shit, it's going to be diarrhea everywhere. It was fine. So, his chocolate ain't good for dogs at all. But he's my pain in the ass. So, if he's a little bit more mature, a little bit more controlled, I probably would have took him on the hike with me. Cause they do that. If you take your dog with you, to the Mammoth March and the dog completes it with you, not only do you get a medal, but the dog does too. Which is pretty cool. Anywho. But yeah, so far the Pixel 11 Pro XL, great phone, man. Great phone.
You loving it?
Yep. Yep. I mean, I'll say the gimmick thing about it, the highlight feature is kind of dumb because it really only does two things. And basically, if your phone is face down and you use Gemini, like I can press my Pixel Bud in my left ear and hold it, and it'll activate Gemini. And when Gemini's talking back to me, the flash, which is actually an RGB LED now, will pulse this rainbow, kind of rainbow effect. The other thing it does is I can assign like to my favorites, like my wife, my son, so on and so forth. I can give them a LED color, but I have to choose between 5 colors. That's the only choice, even though it's an RGB light. They only give you a choice of 5 different colors. So right now my wife and my son are the same color. But so if I see that color come through, then I know it's one of them. You know. But the phone has to be face down. So if it's faced up, you know, that doesn't work and that does nothing. I did do a probably, you know, I'm trying to think if this is specific to
get a lot of them work calls, and it's like, why did you do something this way at such and such a time? It's like, that was 12 hours ago.
Right?
It was a nothing moment for me. I didn't exactly log it down in my diary.
But, yeah, Google has this thing called a Magic Shot. And I'm not sure if that's an 11 Pro only feature or not. Hey, Google, stop.
Change your wake word.
I know, right? So there's a picture of my dog I took with a Magic Shot. And So basically, the way Magic Shot works is it shoots video, and then it will pick out frames out of the video and create stills from them.
Mm.
It's actually pretty good, too. So. I'd show you some of the other ones, except you'd see my barefoot. Nobody wants to see that. I don't even want to see that.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to see Joel's barefoot, you're actually going to have to sign up for his OnlyFans.
OnlyFans, yeah. Or my hairy leg.
It costs money. It ain't free.
Nope. So, Apple joined the folding phone ranks.
They've been talking about doing that for a long time.
Yeah.
It's been in plans.
It has. And the Apple fanboys are like, oh, this is the best phone ever. Nobody's done
this. They're so innovative.
But Apple, I'm like.
They made a folding phone.
Yeah, Samsung only did it 5 years ago.
They're only on their, like, eighth iteration of it now or something.
I know.
Oh, wow.
They call it, of all things, iPhone Duo. So, let's see. There was another phone that had the word Duo in its
name.
Yeah,
the Windows.
No. It wasn't Windows. It was Android.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Surface Duo was an Android device.
But it was put out by Microsoft.
Put out by Microsoft, correct. It's the last phone of any kind that they made. But, so you can get this magical iPhone Duo for the grand total of $1,999 for the base model.
At least, you know, the price is competitive.
It is. It is. I do want to finish watching the video and see what changes they made to iOS in order
I know a lot of people are still talking about the Samsung phones, the interior screen still being very sensitive to breaking.
Well, the Samsung had brought out a model in this almost the same form factor before Apple did.
Oh,
same
yeah.
screen, essentially.
Well, I'm just saying that it's prone to breaking.
Yeah, and there's no way that the Apple one isn't either.
Right.
I'm just waiting to see, because I will say when I did go to pick up my 11 Pro XL, I did look at the new Google Fold, and I'm like, yeah, I see the crease. It's not even that old of a phone. So yeah, not mine. Well, not to mention the fact you're paying a premium to get the fucking folding screen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the camera is worse.
And you're losing features. Well, especially with the Samsung one. I know some of them now,
yep.
Like at first, you know, you were paying that premium price, but you were losing things like DeX.
Yep.
But now you are getting DeX with it, although you can't use DeX on the device itself. You have to have it hooked up to an external screen. So.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, they're coming along a couple more years, you know. Once it gets about to that 16th iteration or so, maybe it won't suck so bad.
Yeah. Well, I'll admit, I wouldn't mind that, you know, because there'll be times where, like, if I go to, like, great example here is next Saturday, I'll be, not this coming Saturday, but next Saturday, I'll be driving up to Cuyahoga. That might have been a trip I just took the phone.
Yeah.
If I had a folding phone. But I'll take my iPad because I want to watch some stuff on iPad.
I would consider it more if you could do like the DeX mode, like the desktop mode with it open. I would consider that. Because then I could, you know, easily just run, you know, full on applications and then just remote into my computer at home and be basically running full Linux everywhere I go.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm still not convinced the folding screens that, you know, If money was no object, I would probably have this phone, and I'd probably get a Motorola Razr.
I'd probably still have, like, the Samsung, but not the Fold.
Right.
Just, you know, what the one of whatever the newest Ultra is.
Mm-hmm.
It would probably be my phone.
Was it,
what is it up to, the 26?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. And you have the one that has the pen, too, right?
Yeah, the Ultra.
Right. Do you use a pen?
On occasion.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good to have. It's not an absolute requirement for me or anything.
Right.
It's just that you get higher end specs with the Ultra too.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, when I had the Note, back when it was called the Note, I used it not as often as I thought it would.
Yeah, the pen, yeah, I definitely did not use the pen often, and I don't use it that often, but I do use it on occasion, and it is useful.
I think the best thing it's for, like, if you're trying to, like, great example would be, what I'll probably be doing a lot of is snapshotting, like, the map of the metro park that we're going to hike at, and then circle the parking lot I want to meet at.
Yeah, I've done that with images. Also, if I'm taking notes in a meeting,
right,
it looks much more professional if I'm doing it with the S Pen as opposed to, you know, trying to type it out.
Right. It can be faster, too, sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Depending on if you can read your own chicken scratch or if the phone can read your chicken scratch.
Well, if nothing else, I'll just have to keep regular notes, and I can read my chicken scratch. I'm quite good at it.
Yep. I should hope so.
I've got years and years of practice.
I got more refills coming from my fountain pens. Should get here Friday.
Mm.
I have three different Quaco Sport fountain pens. What I probably should do is...
I haven't 3D printed anything in like 3 or 4 weeks.
It's been over a month for me.
It's been hot.
Yeah, I don't want to turn my printer on. Not
I get
way.
Chamber warnings.
Yeah. But... Yeah, so nothing Apple brought out today do I want.
Why not?
Well, because I already bought a new phone, and I don't need a second phone. I mean, if money was no object, I'd have one of each, to be honest, just because I'm a dork. But money is an object. So, because I'd have a folding Android phone, a regular Android phone, and a flip Android phone, and an iPhone. But that's not happening. So the only reason I'd like that is because I like to talk about the different options and try the new things on each of the platforms, you know. I just wish that right now, I don't think there is a true viable Linux-only phone.
Has there ever been one?
Not really. I mean, technically, Android's Linux, but...
It's got the Linux kernel. It's got too much crap on top of it.
True. But you got the Pine phone.
Yeah, and then there's coming out.
But the specs on the Pine phone aren't great.
And they're not making it right now.
Yep. PinePhone Pro. Yeah, it's like a many generations behind. Oh, and it only has 4 gigs of RAM. 128 gigs of storage. I mean, I could say the same thing about, like I would not mind, what is the books, I think? B-O-O-X. Yeah. Like the books tablet or there's another one of those e-ink tablets. What's the other one? There's a bigger one and I'm trying to remember the names of all of them. The Remarkable. I can't justify paying $400 for something. It's just like a tablet just to write on, you know. I do read from my Kindle Color software every once in a while. The colors are nice. Most of the time I'm reading books, like books that don't need color. I'm not reading comics on it. That's the only thing it really truly uses, the colors.
You read Dungeon Crawler Carl yet?
No.
He doesn't read.
I do read. I just read things that I get value from, and I would not get value from that.
You don't get entertainment value from things?
Sometimes, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been one that would play Dungeon Crawlers or do things like play D&D. Never played D&D once, not once.
Okay, but do you read for fun?
I have played Battletech.
Yeah, but you didn't answer my question. Do you read for fun?
Very little.
See, that's your problem.
Very little.
How far are you, Dan?
I'm about halfway through book three.
Mm.
Kind of trying to take it a little easy. I got to get the next book this weekend.
Mm.
I'll probably be finished with the book this weekend.
I have read at least one book this year.
For fun?
And education. I read... what's the name? Relentless. I got to go look at Amazon to get the full title. Relentless by Tim Grover. From Good to Great to Unstoppable. And Tim Grover's this guy who's coached guys like Kobe Bryant and stuff like that. It's a pretty good read. I don't agree with everything that he says.
Sound like you need to read some fiction for fun.
The last fiction book I read was probably Ready Player Two.
If you enjoyed Ready Player 2, you will enjoy Dungeon Crawler Carl.
Maybe.
It's a fantastic movie, man. I'm loving it. Although, you know, I have to say, without trying to give away any spoilers, I don't want to give away any spoilers, I really kind of had it in my mind how it was going to go, and it's nothing like
it. Never
like,
does.
I'm like, there's what, supposedly 18 floors, right?
Supposedly.
Yeah. So I'm...
Although nobody's been to the 18th floor except for, like, I guess owners or something.
Has anyone made it? I don't think anybody made it past, was it, is it 11?
Yeah.
Is that it that they talk about in the book, or is it 9? I know
I
9.
I think it's 12.
Oh,
I think 12, it's actually
yeah.
12. That almost nobody ever makes it that far. But I don't know if, like, in the history of it ever, no one's made it past that. But I know nobody's made it to 18.
Well, guess what?
What?
Hmm.
Those books are on Kindle Unlimited, and I do have a current subscription on that.
There you go, man.
Read them. All eight of them?
Let's see, 1, 2, 3, 5, 4, yeah, all 8 of them for nothing.
That's cool. You'd read them before tomorrow.
No, that's a lot of reading. I don't think it's gonna happen. Especially tonight. I got to finish few steps. Got to run to Walmart probably. I think. I hope.
So I guess 9 has no release date yet.
They were talking like March.
I wouldn't be surprised. He's cranking them out. He must have written this a while ago.
Ooh.
I'm assuming. Well,
I know he was cranking them out, you know, one right after the other there for a while. But now he's like working on, getting the TV show set up, working on, getting the RPG set up and everything else and the comics that are getting made and everything else. So, you know, it keeps you busy and keeps you from bringing out the next book.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Plus, you know, he's talking there about there only being one or two more books after, number 8. So, you know, if it makes it to 11, then, you know, it's more than he was expecting.
Gonna start wrapping this up.
Yep.
Yeah.
I need to go to bed anyway. I'm friggin' tired.
Yeah, me too.
Try something here. You guys have a nice Labor Day?
Yep. Yes.
Very relaxing.
I ran. Big fucking surprise, right?
How about that? Yeah. All right. I'm going to play this out. Another week. It's off of Freedom Day. Have a good one. Here it is.
I am sure.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making Egg Foo Young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Almost forgot about the purism. That phone. The Purism phone. The Librem phone. Oh, that's
this
crappy.
Is a Comet. That's, what was it?
And they're both pretty crappy spec-wise. 4 gig of RAM, 128 gig of storage for $1,700? I don't think so.
The Mecha Comet. Look up the Mecha Comet.
Oh, wait, isn't that the one that, the little computer that Murph had at OLF like a year or so ago?
I don't know. It's supposed to be in Kickstarter, so.
Only makes sense.
Something crazy like that. Well, now he's got the recording started.
What's the problem here?
Oh, we're just talking smack about you.
Yeah, I've been upstairs. I've been mocking you, and you have not been responding. And
oh,
because
I wasn't.
Rude.
I wasn't listening. I had to go look at what my dog was doing.
Mm-hmm. Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Hey there.
Hey, Murph.
It's that time of year. I'm on to harass you folks about Software Freedom Day.
Nice. I ran 11 miles Saturday.
Nice.
Just two,
baby.
2.1.
You're welcome.
Hi, Paige. Just 2.1 miles short of the full half. And weather forecast for Cuyahoga Valley is starting to come in and probably will change between now and then, but right now it's looking like a high of 66 and a low in the 50s. So that's perfect. Joe's like, that sounds awesome.
Doesn't it though?
Mm-hmm.
It's still like 100 here.
It's not that warm up here, but it's getting ready to let go. I'm supposed to run 5 tomorrow morning. I'm not sure about my runs for next week because the hike is a week from Sunday.
What happened to the rest of it?
So I may not do any running. We'll have to see.
Yeah.
You ready, brother?
Talking to me?
Who else am I talking to?
Hold on. This is 1,149. All right. Let's get this show on the road, huh? Sorry I was late. Bum, 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 dum, dum.
Murph's do apologize. Loving it.